May she be well, who is a little bit audacious. She was visiting us many years ago in the States, and in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn, my parents and I live only a block away from a very, very large conservative shul. Actually, at that time, it was very large. Now it's no longer very large, fortunately and unfortunately. We could explain why another time. But so we never went to the shul. But my aunt, who lives here in Eretz Yisrael, who has two sons who are Bekiyim B'Shas, she has a son who has 18 children. But put it this way, quite charedi. And she decided that she, in her charedi dress, is going to go into the conservative shul. She was so curious what goes on over there. So my aunt, may she be well, came in and sat in the back. And I don't know what they call her, the gabbait, the woman who was in charge, the gabbait, but she was a woman, came over to my aunt. My aunt was sitting in many circles. It's common, it's not even thought about twice, that every woman from her community, of course, wears a wig. And she was sitting with a wig and wearing her wig. And the woman comes over to her, and she has, you know, you guys know what these things are? What's called a doily? These white things that women put on. And she comes over to my aunt, and she says, in our synagogue, you have to cover your hair. And it's not acceptable. So my aunt begins to explain to her what a sheitel is. So she gets very confused, and she goes up to the rabbi, up to the mizrach, and she whispers into the rabbi's ear. So she comes back, and she said, the rabbi wants me to tell you that in our synagogue, a wig is not enough, and that your standards aren't our standards, and I want you to know that this is something that you have to wear in our synagogue. Every community has its doily. Every community has its part that defines what it is. In a conservative synagogue, that's what it is. The doily defines who they are. In our community, I hope it's not the wig. I hope it's not the kippah. I hope it's not the hat. And I hope it's not the college degree. What exactly is our doily? In this week's parasha, in Bechukosai, Perek Chavo, Pasuk Yudalid, we have a terrible tochacha. We're not going to talk about the tochacha, but what we're going to speak about is the introduction to the tochacha. We're going to ask a couple of questions. Torah Kedosha says, "V'en lo yisishmu uli, v'lo yisasu es kol mitzvos ha'eila." Then Hakadosh Baruch Hu says in Pasuk Tezayin, "V'fgadeti aleichem b'holes hashachafes v'sakadachas michalos einayim." Some terrible things. Rashi comments, a comment that mirrors his opening statement in the beginning of Parshas Bechukosai. In Bechukosai Teleichu, Rashi says, Shetiyu Amelim B'Teira. Rashi says that the definition of going in the ordinances of God is toiling in his Torah. Here, Rashi says, Vim lo sishmu'uli. What is Vim lo sishmu'uli? Shalotiyu Amelim B'Teira. So Rashi defines listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words is whether you're amal b'Torah. Toiling in Torah becomes the definition. It's a little bit of a funny description. At the end of the day, in lo sishmu'uli, we said in Kriya Shema tonight, v'ayim shamaya, that if you listen to the mitzvos of Hashem, you don't expect Rashi to describe it as amelim b'Torah. So question number one is, why exactly is the definition of shmiya, listening to God, why is that called whether one is amal b'Torah or not? It gets worse. The tochacha gets worse. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph, then the stakes become higher. V'im telchu imi keri v'lo sovu l'shmali. And if you will go with me keri, I'm going to have to define that word, and you don't listen, in lo, but here it doesn't say simply lo sishmuli, v'im lo sovu l'shmali, and you don't desire to listen to me, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the words, v'yasafti aleichem maka sheva kichato seichem. 7 times worse. So what happened here? There's a change. Number one is that we go with God bekeri. Keri is cold, passive. Velosovu, and you don't desire lishmali. It's the same lishmali, but here it's velosovu. Then viyasafti aleichem. Over here in this pasuk, question number two is that it doesn't even say velosasu es kol mitzvosa eila. When we get 1/7 of the punishment, there it says losishmu velosasu. When we get the worst punishment, it doesn't even mention velo sasu. Doesn't even mention whether we're doing the mitzvahs. It's keri velo sovu lishmoali. Question number two is, what happened to the lack of asiyah? Gemara in Sota on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph says, aveira mechaba mitzvah. An aveira could extinguish the credit of a mitzvah. Aveira eina mechaba Torah. But Avera can't extinguish Torah. What does that mean? Why? Isn't Torah one of the 613 mitzvahs? Even if it's the most chashuv of all the mitzvahs, at the end of the day, what does the Gemara mean when it says that Avera can't be mechabe Torah? Which means, unfortunately, there are boys who are going to go back when their life after yeshiva, some of them who learned, will do Averos. Unfortunately, that's a reality. But at the end of the day, every single word of Torah that they accomplished, that can never be erased. Aveira mechabe mitzvah, aveira eina mechabe Torah. What does that mean? Why? How? The critical part, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, is the word keri. And the critical part is the passion of amelus batorah. Our doily, our defining characteristic is one thing, and that is amelus batorah. That's our defining characteristic. And therefore, if we're not amel batorah, the first step will lead to the fact that we don't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs. And that requires an onesh. But once that process begins, that we're no longer with that passion of amelus batorah, then all parts of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu become kar, they become cold, they become passive. And then, 7 times of a punishment is not whether we're doing the mitzvos or not, but is no longer im lo sovu lishmali. We no longer have that aspiration to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We could be doing the mitzvos, but at the end of the day, once there's lo sovu, once there's keri, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then our relationship has been broken. Amelus Batorah defines whether Torah is you or whether it's not. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Yutes Amud Aleph says, "Ki im b'soiras Hashem cheftzoi u'b'soirasa yede yoimam v'layla." The pasuk that says that Hakadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is the Talmud Chacham's desire, it starts off as Torah Hashem, the Torah of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And the seifa, the end of the pasuk says, "Ubisayrasa yege yoimam v'layla." If you have a desire for Hakadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, then that Torah will become yours, says the Gemara. It started off as Torah Hashem, then the Gemara says it becomes Torah delay. He becomes Torah. He becomes a chelik of Hakadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, and that's what the Chachmei and Mesorah were, and that's what the Chachmei and Mesorah are. Actions are not enough. Shmiras HaMitzvahs are not enough. It's possible for a person to be Shomer Torah and Mitzvahs and yet at the same time be entirely Keri. I'm a pathetic driver. Before GPS came along, I would basically only drive with my wife in the car unless I knew where I was going. And my wife just directed me. Basically, my wife was pre-GPS. She was the GPS. You know, they say that there was a guy like me who got into an accident, and the cop asked him what happened. He said, "It's not my fault. My wife, she fell asleep." There are some drivers who are entirely passive drivers. There are some drivers who don't take the initiative. You know, I said this a couple of years ago. I said this shmooze a couple of years ago, and I'm sure it's already happened. This, when GPS just started, Waze just became really popular. So I said it's going to be time, and I can't imagine it hasn't happened yet, that somebody was wrong in his driving, and he says that he's entirely innocent because the GPS told him to go there. That's the difference between driving ba'amelus batara and driving bekeri. Is it Torah delay? Is it Torah really, really becoming yours? Or are you someone who's passively sitting in the seats? You know, Lag BaOmer, we saw when we went to Miron, we saw fires. It was ma'arich with Talmidim in other contexts in previous years. That's not a coincidence that Lag BaOmer, which is the segue that B'nai Yisachar says from the Bechina of Lev to the Bechina of Tov, Lamed Vez, Vez is 32, Tov is the next part, the part that we're in right now towards Kabbalah Satorah, that's the Bechina of Tov. It's not a coincidence that Lag BaOmer is embodied by fire. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, we've been ma'arich in the past why he represents fire. And v'chol ha'om ro'im es ha'kolos ve'les ha'lapidim. And that Kabbalah Satorah is all about that passion of fire. Rabosai, this is what defines a Jew's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The answer to the question of why it is that Aveira is Mechabe Mitzvah and not Mechabe Torah is because an Aveira and a Mitzvah are actions. If a person does an Aveira, then it nullifies, God forbid, the action of a Mitzvah. But it can't nullify his Mahus, his essence. That essence of that moment, when he was learning in Eretz Yisrael, when he was learning in Yeshiva, when he was Amel in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, that stays with him, that essence stays with him forever. And that's why Rashi says that the definition of Shmiya LaHakadosh Baruch Hu, our relationship of Shmiya with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is defined by Amelus Betorah. That defines who we are. Rav Bloch Zatzal bemoaned that there were three things that, because of secular Zionism, that Orthodox Jews erroneously gave up. And they are Tanakh, particularly Nevi'im and Ksuvim, because there were so many secular Zionists that were involved in Nevi'im and Ksuvim. The other is Eretz Yisrael, which is now our responsibility to take back. And the third is Lashon Kodesh. Rav Katz, who is the Rosh Kol in Nativ Aryeh, added beautifully that in our generation, what also we're missing is the Bechina of Tshuva. People think that Tshuva, repentance, is something that is for secular Jews. Secular Jews become Bali Tshuva. That's not true. Tshuva is something that's part of the inherent existence of a Jew. And in my opinion, in my smallness, I'd like to suggest the fifth. And the fifth is Amelus Batorah. I was just talking to my good friend, Rabbi Yosef Klinsky, who's just visiting right now. We were Dafyomi Charusis. And he said to me, Chaim, you don't feel that because internet is on every single one of the boys' fingers, that their amelus is slowly slipping? I'm not going to tell you what I said back to him. Rabosai, this is what defines who we are. Amelus Batorah defines who we are. And that amelus Batorah, what I'm talking about, is not only simply steiging over Gemara Rashi tells us. I'm talking about everything we do. Every mitzvah that's done with a passion. In other words, when you have Amelus Batorah, then that spreads out. That transforms everything. Then mitzvahs are done with the passion. Then that becomes an individual who's defined by a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Shmiya. I mentioned to the Talmidim in the past, I want to conclude with this story, that I would ran into something fascinating when I was a young child, and it repeated it again when I was about your age, a little bit older. When I was in eighth grade. I was about close to Bar Mitzvah. My eighth grade Rebbe told me he was close with a very famous and special Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Yitzchak Kurzman. Rabbi Yitzchak Kirzner, at the time, he was an old European Jew from Lita. At the time that my Rebbe met him, so this is now 30 years ago, he was paralyzed. Almost his entire body was paralyzed. My Rebbe would go to visit him. My Rebbe, Rabbi Geldworth, used to go visit him. And he said, he came in exciting Sunday morning. He would visit him on Shabbos, came in excited Sunday morning. He said something very interesting. He said, I just heard a story from Yitzchak Kirzner, and he cried when he said the story. Okay, I'll tell you the story in a moment. The amazing thing is, I heard the story from Rabbi Braunschweigel, may he have a refuah shleima. In many ways, he's also paralyzed today. And he was sitting in shir, and he stopped and he told us the story, and he also cried. Here's the story. The story goes that Rabbi Aizel Lecharef, who was known as one of the Gaonim in Lita in the 19th century, came to Volozhin. Rabbi Aizel Lecharef was known as being a unique Gaon, and he had a bomb kasha. And the Rosh Yeshivas gave him permission to announce in the Beis Medrash his bomb kasha. The boys began to handle, as we say in Yiddish, began to argue about how to answer it. One of them approached Rabbi Aizela, and Rabbi Aizela heard it, and Rabbi Aizela said, yeah, it doesn't fit into the words. Another one, he said, but you're against another Gemara. Rabbi Aizela kept on being docha the kashas. Then the stakes went up, because then the rumor went out amongst the boys that Rabbi Aizela Charef was looking for a son-in-law. So everybody started working harder and harder. He was really looking for his future son-in-law, who ultimately became a dayan. And time went on. Rabbi Zalcharef was in Volozhin, the great yeshiva of Volozhin, the father of all yeshivas. He was in Volozhin for a couple of days. No one came up with a good answer. Rabbi Zal got into his wagon and he started heading back. Out of the Beis Medrash, and here's the amazing thing, we still know the name of this bachur. The story took place over 200 years ago. I fell out of my seat once when I was looking for through a Gedolim book story, a book of Gedolim, and I saw his picture. And sure enough, he was a dayan. The boy's name was Yosef Schlipper. That was his name. He became Rabbi Zalcharev's son-in-law. The boy came running out of the Beis Medrash, and I have to say it to you in Yiddish. He said, Rebbe, vergesst von der Shidduch. Rebbe, forget about the Shidduch. He was being upfront with him. He said, aber wie azoi kennst dir gena weg von Volozhin mit Akasha an Ateretz. But how could you leave Volozhin with Akasha without Ateretz? Of course, the fairy tale ends. Rabbi Zalcharev said, you're the boy I'm looking for. Sure enough, he became his son, Rabbi Yosef Schlipper. When my Rebbe said that, he started crying. Rabbi Yitzchak Kirzner said that, they started crying. Why? The answer is obvious. When one thinks about B'chukos HaTelechu, that is what defines who we are. What defines who we are is V'yazoy kenster gena vek fun v'lozhem mit akasha on ateretz. How could you leave? How can you just close the Gemara without being bothered by Tosis's kasha? Amilus Batorah defines who we are. That's touched my Rebbe's neshama. That touched Rabbi Yitzchak Kirzner. That represented everything that the Nazis tried to destroy and everything that we're trying to rebuild. And now we have a new enemy. I'm not talking about treif, treif, treif. I'm talking about who you are, what you are. In B'chukos HaTelechu, what does it mean to be Shomei al Dvar Hashem and what not? Nowadays, everything is about kosher style. I mentioned in the past that the defining characters, I'm going longer for 10 minute Musar because this is Zeh HaYisod. This is the Yisod, I apologize. Nowadays, it's in to choose orthodoxy. Baruch Hashem, I referred to in the beginning of the Shmuz. It's the in thing. If you want your son to be less likely to be into drugs and your daughter to less likely to become pregnant, you better send them to an orthodox school. But that's not in B'chukos HaTelechu. That doesn't define who we are. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us siyata d'shmayim. That we should be able to live that amelus b'tor, to be able to have that passion, to be zocha, to go towards Kabbalah Satorah, v'chol omrom es hakolos v'esalapidim, and not chas v'chalut to be nichshal, v'im telchu imi keri. Good chance.